Despite protests from numerous member states, the UN General Assembly has passed a non-binding resolution condemning Syria's government. Press TV's UN correspondent Hank Flynn is in New York with more.
The UN General Assembly came to order on Thursday with the express intent of holding a vote on a draft resolution that would condemn Syria's Assad government for human rights abuses. Before the vote, however, Syrian Ambassador Bashar Jafari called for Syria to be left alone to work out its own problems. He blasted member states such as Qatar, which according to many reports is funneling arms and money to Syrian opposition forces.
We would like to confirm that any biased, unobjective resolution would only send the wrong message to all these extremists and terrorists, a message that their violence and deliberate sabotage receives the support of the member states of the United Nations and their encouragement.
Venezuela and North Korea objected as well, voicing concern that the UN is dabbling in regime change and giving Libya as an example. The board was lit, however, and the vote taken. And so with the vote on the record and in the books, the Iranian ambassador and delegates from other member states stepped forward to condemn the decision.
In the case of Syria, any attempt to interfere in the Syrian internal affairs would only lead to deepening of political and social crisis with all its ramifications to the region as a whole. Our goal, therefore, should be focused on a process that leads to a strengthening national unity, ensuring public order, national security, stability and prosperity for Syrian people.
Russia and China, which vetoed the Syrian draft in the Security Council, also explained their votes against the resolution in the General Assembly. Russia had suggested amendments to the draft that would have put responsibility on the Syrian opposition and not just the Assad government, but they were rejected.
The Russian Federation proposed some amendments to the draft resolution. The essence of these amendments would lead to a non-confrontational and logical call for all the opposition forces to distance themselves from all the armed groups that have committed acts of violence.
Pakistan's delegates suggested those amendments should have stayed. Immediately afterward, Egyptian and Saudi delegates emerged at the stakeout to gloat.
It reaffirms that the conclusion that was reached or not reached in the Security Council some days ago does not reflect the will and the desire of the international community.
Al-Mualimi added that he wished Syria had followed Bahrain's example of engaging with its opponents. He said nothing, however, of Bahrain's example of asking Saudi troops to forcefully put down peaceful domestic demonstrations. Hank Flynn, Press TV, New York.
Franklin Lam is director of Americans Concerned for Middle East Peace, and he joins us now live from Beirut to share his thoughts with us on this. Mr. Lam, we heard the Saudi envoy saying that this shows that the will of the international community is for some kind of intervention in Syria. The question is, what kind of intervention should we be looking for? The West has been putting pressure on Syria, but we know that it's totally ignored the violent crackdowns, for instance, in Saudi Arabia itself or in Bahrain. And this has raised questions about the issue of double standards and what those intentions are when someone, when one country who is not against democracy, who is not against, rather, dictatorship in one country, should be so concerned about the situation in another country. What are those intentions looking at?
Yes. Thank you. May I just say one thing about what happened yesterday? From the point of view of the sovereignty of all countries and the development of international law, what we saw in the General Assembly was a good thing. That is, because the Security Council was blocked by a veto, as the Americans have blocked 42 times Zionist crimes in the Security Council, now, under the Uniting for Peace resolution, the members went to the General Assembly for a vote. This is a very good thing as an instrument, and I think we should acknowledge that. In the case of Palestine, the Americans have preemptively said they will block, with a Security Council veto, Palestinian state. But this allows still the General Assembly to go on record, and hopefully it will become a stronger vote. Now, I'm not supporting the vote yesterday or its outcome, although it's true, it gives the members an opportunity to express themselves. The decision was not binding, as you know, only the Security Council was. But yes, vote, I think, hopefully we will see more of, as the General Assembly tries to take back some of the power from the Security Council that has become so politicized. With respect to the double standard, absolutely. It is now nearly laughable when some of these diplomats get up and argue. In this period, really, what we're seeing is the rhetoric of a Cold War with huge stakes. The Saudis know the Americans are, by and large, leaving the area, and that they are going to have to face the Islamic awakening and the Arab uprising, and they're feeling that pressure. They should focus on their own society and giving those rights that they're so quick to demand of the Syrians. The rights given to the Syrian people, I think, in the last three decades, certainly exceed the rights given to the Saudi people and the Bahraini people. So this double standard, I don't think, convinces anyone. But still, I maintain that the General Assembly has to rise up and have a bigger role, as it exhibited yesterday.
Well, just looking at the role that the Arab countries have been playing here, especially Saudi Arabia and Qatar, some people have been asking, looking at their roles, these are countries where elections are not held, where we're seeing protests taking place, an absolute monarchy in Saudi Arabia. So are they in a position, they say, to preach democracy in the case of Syria? What do you think is these countries' role in the Syrian crisis?
Well, I think the implication of your question is exactly right. These regimes are instruments of the American Zionist hegemony, and they have been for the last 40 years. So in a sense, we're not surprised. It's a little embarrassing to, I would think, for them to be expose themselves in this way. But do we really, history being the judge, have the right to expect more from them, because they have always acted in this way? They have not acted for the Arab nation, for the Islamic nation, for the Palestinian cause. They've been in the pocket of the Americans and the Zionists. Look who the Bahraini ambassador has been to Washington, and what he says about Zionism and praising Israel. So these are not representative Muslims, I think, or Arabs on the issue that is the key cause of the conflict in the Middle East and beyond. So I dismiss their comments as predictable and showing that they're in the pocket of the Zionists and the American administration, and they're under increasing pressure, because that hegemony is being shifted out of the region and they're being exposed.
Franklin Lam, Director of Americans Concerned for Middle East Peace, joining us there live from Beirut with his comments. Thank you very much.